Greet you in Jesus' name this evening. The one that our faith needs to be in. As we look at the subject of the path of faith, faith as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we could talk about faithfulness. And faithfulness is included. If you have the true spirit fruit of faith, you will be faithful in every part of life, in your words, in your thoughts, like we heard about, in our deeds, in our everyday life, home life, work, business. We will be faithful if we have the true spirit fruit of faith. The word in Galatians 5 of faith is the same Greek word that you find in Hebrews 11, where you have the heroes of faith recorded as being faithful because of their faith, their belief, their following the Almighty God. Now, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance and evidence. And people that don't have faith, they don't understand it. They say it's a fantasy. There's nothing there. But we know, we've experienced it. We have it in our heart that it is substance and it is evidence. It is substance of things hoped for. It's a support for the things that we hope for. And evidence of things not seen, it is proof or conviction of things that we haven't seen. Our faith is proof of that. Strong's Concordance would have this definition for the word faith here, credence or persuasion, or credence, moral conviction of religious truth, or the truthfulness of God, or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. That's faith. It's also constancy in such a profession, the system of religious or gospel truth itself, or assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. So that's Strong's definition of faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith grows in us as the Spirit works in us. But it is also a gift, in a sense. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." It is the gift of God. But I believe the gift it is talking about here is salvation. And not necessarily faith as a gift. Adam Clark said this, "But it may be asked, is not faith the gift of God? Yes, as to the grace by which it is produced, but the grace or power to believe and the act of believing are two different things. Without the grace or power to believe, no man ever did or can believe. But with that power, the act of faith is a man's own. God never believes for any man, no more than he repents for him. The penitent, through this grace enabling him, believes for himself, nor does he believe necessarily or impulsively when he has that power. The power to believe may be present long before it is exercised. Else, why the solemn warnings with which we meet everywhere in the Word of God and threatenings against those who do not believe? Is not this proof that such persons have the power but do not use it? They believe not, and therefore are not established. This, therefore, is the true state of the case. God gives the power, man uses the power thus given, and brings glory to God. Without the power, no man can believe. With it, any man may." I like that last phrase there. Without the power that God gives, no man can believe. With it, any man may. That's a lot of kind of deep things there that Adam Clark said, and it's a little hard to follow, but I trust that you were able to follow some of it. Back in about 2015, during the Syrian refugee crisis, there was many Syrian refugees came to Germany. These people were mostly Muslims. And there in Germany, many of them, by the hundreds, it said, this article that I read, were turning to Christianity. Many of them were doing it for advantage, because if they were in Germany and they could say that they were Christians, and if they went back to Syria, they would be persecuted there because they were Christians. And so it lessened the chance that they would be sent back. And so for that advantage, they would turn to Christianity. However, many were sincere, and they turned to Christ by faith. They were disenchanted with Islam and all the things that were done in the name of Islam, all the terrible things in their old country, and they were seeking truth. And so they exercised the power to believe given to them of God and came to Christ by faith. And so there it is. Without the power, no man can believe. With it, any man may. Okay, let's look at some instances of faith in the Bible. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. It's the story of the Canaanitish woman that came to Jesus, and Jesus ignored her at first, and then called her a dog, and then finally gave her her petition. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Turn over just a couple of chapters to Matthew 17. Verses 19 to 21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus had sent the disciples out, or some men had brought, this man had brought his son to the disciples because he was lunatic and sore vexed, and he fell into the fire and water. And he says, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Let's start reading there in verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Jesus called the woman's faith. He said that she had, Woman, great is thy faith. And here he said, If we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And how is faith measured? You measure it by its size, how big it looks, by its weight, by its bulk, by its length, by its endurance. I think with the woman of a Canaanitish woman, Jesus measured it maybe more by potential than by anything else. And the seed, the size a faith the size of a grain of mustard seed is also by potential. It's talking about what it is able to accomplish. Jesus said the woman had great faith. I think he measured her by potential, like I said, but by her persistence in the face of seeming rejection. First of all, Jesus ignored her. He answered her not a word. And he told her that he was not here for her or her people. And he said, it's not meet to take the children's. It's not the right thing to do. Take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Basically calling her a dog. And dogs were very looked down on among the Jews. And in that culture. We many times give up. If somebody would say to us, like Jesus did to that woman, I'm afraid I would give up. But she did not. And Jesus said, because you did not give up, great is your faith. A great faith does not give up, even when there is seemingly no answer. And just on a little bit of a side note here, turn to Daniel, and we'll look a little bit at the Daniel chapter 10. We get a little glimpse there into the spirit world in Daniel 10. I didn't really look into what Daniel was praying for. He was mourning 3 full weeks, it said. He was fasting. He ate no pleasant bread, no flesh or wine. And for 3 full weeks, so 21 days. Verse 10 of chapter 10 of Daniel. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. 21 days Daniel was praying, and he got no answer. And when we pray and we feel like there's no answer, we don't know what's happening in the spirit world. Prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And then Michael came to help, and they were able to get through to Daniel. We know that God is all-powerful and that he has all things, but many times I wonder if there isn't things going on in the spirit world. It's a spiritual battle. And we don't understand it. And we need to keep praying. And we could look at the parable of the unjust judge also. And God wants us to pray and to not give up when there's seemingly no answer, to have that great faith that this woman had. Matthew 13:31, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a grain of mustard seed. And how a tiny seed... How it is a tiny seed, but it grows and spreads and becomes like a great tree. And that is the way our faith can be. Jesus uses the same object for an example of the kingdom of heaven and of faith, or faith. And our faith can be that, just a tiny faith in a great God to come to him for salvation and the potential for that faith to grow and become a tree that is a great blessing in the kingdom of heaven, a fruit of the Spirit. But Jesus said, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, we can say to this mountain, depart, and it will depart. And I thought of that in relation to the salvation of a soul. A mountain, anytime a soul needs saved, a mountain must be moved. It is just as impossible from man's perspective to save a soul as it is for man to move the tallest mountain in the world, Mount Everest. Man cannot do it. It is impossible. But God can. With God, it is very possible. All he needs is for us to exercise that tiny faith that he gives the power for. The tiny faith is a grain of mustard seed, and the impossible happens. Now, that's for salvation. I think there's many smaller mountains in our lives that we could move also if we would exercise the faith as a grain of mustard seed that Jesus talks about. Let's go to Matthew 8. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says here, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In all of Israel, all the people that were to be God's people and that knew his works from the beginning and through the wilderness and everywhere. And here was this Roman centurion. And Jesus said, in all of Israel, I have not found faith so great. Or maybe he was saying understanding or humility. He has not found it so great. I wonder if that wasn't where his understanding and his humility is. Maybe how Jesus measured this man's faith. Is it found in me? So great a faith. Matthew 21. Just verses 21 and... Where am I? Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Remember the story here, how Jesus went by this fig tree and he was looking for something to eat. He was hungry. And he just walked by it, and there was no fruit on it. He couldn't find any fruit, and he said, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And the fig tree withered away. And Jesus here does not compare faith to anything. He simply says that if you have faith and do not doubt. And how many mountains have been removed in my life because I had faith and did not doubt? And how many could have been if I hadn't doubted? So the thought of measuring faith, how do we measure faith? I don't believe we do. I don't believe we need to. God does. God looks down and he measures our faith. We simply believe by the grace and power he has given us, and he measures our faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we acquire this saving faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear the word, and God opens our understanding, and faith is conceived. Then we experience a new birth, and Brother Sherwin did a good job of explaining that yesterday. Faith is born and starts to grow by the Holy Spirit. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, I don't think we can measure our faith, but God does, and he has his own formula that is way beyond man's comprehension. Now, we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God. This is not an unconditional state. Romans 11. Verses 20 and 21. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. And this is talking of the Jewish people that didn't believe. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Unbelief will separate us from salvation, as it did the children of Israel, God's chosen people under the old covenant. That is why we need to heed the Spirit, so the fruit of faith can grow in our lives. We stand by faith. That is how we can stand just before God. And we cannot, because of that, we have nothing to brag about. Galatians chapter 3, not sure how much I'll read here, I'll read maybe part of it. talks about salvation by the law or salvation by faith, and outlines how salvation by the law will never work, but salvation by faith. I think I'll just read maybe just the first 14 verses of Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I talked yesterday, told you a little bit about the Jewish man that was that worked in my shop there, he would still be trying to gain salvation by the works of the law because he does not have the faith in Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so the argument here, we could say in Galatians 3, is that salvation is through faith and cannot be achieved in any way through the law. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts. It's a picturesque example here. Darts that are flaming with fire and are thrown. And today, they have tracer bullets and armor-piercing bullets and heat-seeking missiles instead of fiery darts. And Satan has all these too in a spiritual sense. And the Bible says that a smoking flax will he not quench, talking of Jesus. He will not quench a smoking flax. God will not. But Satan will do his utmost. He sees any kind of a spark of faith, and he'll send his heat-seeking missiles in there to try and destroy that spark. But the shield of faith can quench all of them, make them of no effect. All it takes is believing in God, in His promises, in His Son Jesus, and in the power that He gives. And none of Satan's fiery darts can get to us or his heat-seeking missiles. And they are fiery, and they are nuclear warheads many times. He's not out to wound. He's out to kill spiritually. Although he's content if he just, not totally content. If he wounds, he's won a partial victory. Because a wounded person is easier to kill. But a wounded person can still take the shield of faith and quench the deathly darts, these heat-seeking missiles of the wicked one, and be made whole again. A spiritually dead person can also come back and exercise that faith that God has given him the power to exercise and be made whole again. Again, this faith has to be a fruit of the Spirit. It is not something we can come up with ourselves. Philippians 3, verses 8 to 11. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The righteousness that is of God by faith. And as we exercise the faith that God gives us the power and grace to have, it will result in righteousness. If it does not, then there is a problem. And any idea that I can have salvation by faith and go on living as before and not producing righteousness is a lie from the devil. Any righteousness that I can come up with by the power of the flesh and think that it will be the help to be found in him is also a lie. There's only one way, faith, a true faith that produces righteousness. And these verses would clearly intimate that righteousness must be a part of us, and the source of that righteousness is what will make the difference. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit fruit. 2 Timothy 1:5 then, we have the thought of unfeigned faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, unfeigned faith, genuine faith, faith that is not pretentious. It is a genuine faith. It is not a put on faith. It is a Holy Spirit fruit faith. Now we have here three generations that have this unfeigned faith. Is this faith hereditary in any way? It's only in the sense that there was an example and teaching passed down. Otherwise, it cannot be passed on. Each person must exercise the power and grace from God to make this unfeigned faith their very own. None of my ancestors, no matter how righteous, how holy, how spiritual they were, will help me, will pass their faith on down to me. It has to be my own. It can be helpful as an example and teaching, but it cannot be passed down in the gene pool. The Spirit grows this fruit in individual lives. There's much more that could be said of the Spirit fruit of faith, many more scriptures we could look at. But may these ones that we have looked at encourage us to allow this fruit to grow in our lives. We could look at Hebrews 11, James 1 and 2. They all talk about faith. The word faith is found in 234 verses in the New Testament alone. And it is a foundation of the Christian life. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and God exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'd just like to look yet at Paul's farewell address in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Will I be able to say this with Paul? The provision is made. I can. There is no reason. It will not be God's fault if I cannot. If I lose the faith, it will be my fault, not his. And it's up to me whether I surrender to him daily or not. You see, that is what faith does. It surrenders. And some days it's easier than others, but the longer I'm surrendered, the more the Spirit fruit will be able to grow in my life. Do I measure it? No, we don't need to measure it. We need to just be faithful and let God do the measuring. May we do that each day so we can look forward to the crown of righteousness that is laid up for us, that we will cast at Jesus' feet, because without him, we could have no righteousness. There was a Scotch woman once that was introduced as Mrs. So-and-so, a woman of great faith. No, she said, "I am a woman of little faith, but with a great God." How great is your God? May we have a little faith in a great God. God bless you.